all relationships seek harmony. And when there's, when one takes and doesn't give, or when one only gives and doesn't take, or there's an imbalance, it creates stress in a system.
Welcome to Mindful Warrior Radio. Mindful Warrior Radio holds a space for stories of leadership, culture, performance, and flow. Tapping into the wisdom and mastery of innovative change makers and leaders from a wide range of diverse fields. My name is Cami Craig. I'm a former elite athlete, Olympic champion, turned performance and culture design coach at Mindful Warrior, and I'm your host of Mindful Warrior Radio. Thanks for joining us. Today on Mindful Warrior Radio, we welcome our guest, Maude Quinn. Maude is a massage therapist, body worker, and constellations facilitator. With a background in spiritual care and chaplaincy, Maude integrates theological training from Harvard Divinity School with a range of alternative healing modalities. Her work helps clients integrate the wisdom of the body, mind, and soul to access the wellsprings of belonging in their heart, understanding their wholeness, and fulfilling their soulful purpose. I'm honored and thrilled to tap into the insight of Maude Quinn on today's episode of Mindful Warrior Radio.
Thanks, Cami. I'm so glad to be here. I love the podcast, and I just so appreciate the way you open up the resources of the guests that you have on to really empower your listeners. So I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. Today, I really wanted to lift up the training and the work that you've done around family constellations therapy, and really the study of systems. I know that you have studied it deeply in the context of family systems. I want to talk even kind of generally about systems and systems as they apply to organizations. So I figured the best way we can kind of ground our listeners and start is by asking if you could kind of define and or explain the natures of systems as you've gotten to learn them.
Yeah. So I think for me, one of the most basic ways that I understand a system is just like a network of elements that are connected to one another in a constantly evolving way. So systems are dynamic, they're alive, they evolve. And in a constellations context, we sort of understand that we're constantly balancing the movement of two primal forces. So one is sort of this movement of life that's really expansive, that is the movement of our growth. And then there's the movement of the system, which sort of orders life and puts chaos into structure. We're just like dancing in this polarity of expansion and contraction, and both have a place, and it's in the integration of the two movements that our systems find harmony and vitality and can continue to evolve and also create safety and form.
Awesome. I'm curious, as you are explaining how systems work and how they live and move and flux, how does the individual impact the whole system, and how does the whole impact the individual?
Yeah, I love that question. I think one of the things that I love the metaphor of water for understanding this, because I think, if you think about a drop of water in the ocean, is both, there's a drop of water, there's the current of the wave, and then there's the ocean itself. So I think of systems in a similar way, and humans, the way we function in systems in a similar way, in the sense that we are individuals, and we also are in a current of experience. So that might be in our organizations, that might be the history of the organization, all the different components that make up the organization. And in our families, it's our ancestry, so our lineage that sort of comprises the river from which we come, where we receive the flow of life. And then all of it is contained in the much vaster ocean, sort of this vast cosmos of consciousness that like contains the whole system.
So tell us a little bit, you're talking about in family systems, life and energy flows through us through our ancestors. And so we're getting a little bit of a glimpse into what is family constellations therapy. And just to, again, ground our listeners and ground me, can you share with us kind of what is family constellations?
Yeah. So family constellations work was developed by Bert Hellinger, who was a German psychotherapist and philosopher. And he developed constellations in the 80s and 90s. He studied with the Zulu people for over a decade and learned many of their traditions and ceremonies, particularly around how they orient to their ancestors and maintain relationship with their ancestral field. And he sort of synthesized constellations work out of psychoanalysis, family systems theory, and his own sort of existential phenomenology studies. So family systems or family constellations therapy, really it's a modality, a therapeutic modality that helps us map the often unseen, invisible dynamics within a system. So every system has sort of unconscious dynamics of like roles we play, emotional dynamics, all these sort of unconscious patterns that we replicate in our systems. And constellations helps us to set that up in a visual way so we can look at the dynamics and see them clearly. And then work with the issues that are, you know, alive in our life, whatever they may be, that are, you know, between us and our deepest desires, our intentions, our goals, our professional endeavors, and to understand how those blocks or entanglements may actually have origins in an older systemic pattern.
It's really interesting because, I mean, there's an immense amount of truth to it, but you're talking about how systems, kind of behaviors and energy, can be invisible or unconscious. And so we may or may not recognize what we are adopting or carrying from the system or how we're being influenced or impacted by a system. So what are some tools or some ways in which you make the invisible and unconscious conscious?
Yeah. So I think this is one of the real gifts of constellations work, in that it offers us a process that includes like known facts about what has unfolded in our family histories or in the history of an organization. So it includes the story that we know and have so far, and it leaves us open to new information, to sort of the mystery of what we don't yet know. So sort of at a practical level, when you work in, you can work with constellations either one-on-one or in a group. And for example, if you were going to work in a group, a client might say, you know, I'm here to look at the origins of my anxiety. You know, like I have, you know, tried various methods. I've tried medication. I've tried various therapeutic modalities. And no matter what I do, my anxiety keeps recurring. And I want to like know what's here. And so constellations is sort of a framework to not only ask what is here, but who is here. So, and where does this really originate? So if you were working in a group, you might have a client ask people in the group to represent. And what that looks like is just asking somebody They don't have to know anybody in the group. Often it's a group of strangers who know nothing about the story or the context or the history. And the client might ask someone to represent themselves, someone to represent their mother, their father, their desire. What is their wish? If they were free from anxiety, what would be possible in their life? You know, so their intention, and then the block. So in this case, that would be the anxiety. And then there is, you might also place representatives for other relevant like people in the system, whether that be siblings or it varies case by case, but it doesn't have to be very complex. And you just look at, it's really amazing how our bodies can attune to the consciousness of a system. So the consciousness of the system you're working with will sort of arrive in the room, and the representatives have the capacity to resonate with the dynamics at play. And so the facilitator might ask, you know, the representative for the mother, how are you feeling? Where are you looking? What's going on in your body? And in that way, you begin to work with what's here and how is the anxiety functioning in this system? And and ultimately, sort of the goal is to trace back the anxiety, that the anxiety often is an imprint of a much older ancestral memory. So an ancestral imprinting, if you will. There's more and more epigenetic research that our bodies, like the DNA in our bodies, is imprinted with epigenetic imprinting from up to 7 to 14 generations. And so even when we don't consciously know our family history, we have very little information. Maybe we're not in contact with previous generations. Our bodies really are this resource to ancestral memory and ancestral consciousness. And often the most recurring, difficult to shift patterns in our life, whether that's relational patterns or thought, like recurring thought patterns, or like difficulty thriving financially, like really receiving abundance in life in whatever form that may take, often have much older roots, and they recur in us. Those sort of memories live in our bodies, whether we recognize them as belonging to us or belonging to those who came before, because something in a previous generation was unacknowledged, unincluded, or unresolved in some way. And so actually we sort of unconsciously carry the what is unfinished from previous generations out of love and loyalty to those who came before. And sometimes it often keeps us from stepping fully into our own life, because we're like unconsciously turned towards that which was excluded in the past, and sort of following the difficult fate of those who came before out of love for them. And so really the work of constellations is the work of looking to include, to witness what was unwitnessed, and to sort of like follow the vine of life. Like if our ancestry, if you think about it as like a vine, and we're the flower, to sort of follow the vine up the channel to where there's a knot, and really witness where life and love was disconnected, so that we can receive nourishment.
Yeah. Yes, it's incredible as you talk, just to think about how deeply rooted and how far back potentially some of these family systems and origins of knots, as you said, or, you know, blocks or breaks of light and love, how far back they can go. And your acknowledgement of how the body remembers it. And so whether it's unconscious, you know, it's not active in your mind. It's not something that you are mentally aware of. The body is kind of, you know, holding that and like memorizing it. And it's very much active within the body. I know that you do massage therapy and body work. And, you know, one of the questions that was presenting for me was it intentional to go into family constellations alongside of your body work? What's the correlation or connection between those two for you and how that's working? Because obviously the body seems to be a massive tool in the family constellation therapy work that you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. They feel very connected for me. Part of one of the core ideas in constellations work that have resonated the most with me is that, you know, our ancestral biological lineage is how our bodies receive life. And I have had my own quest in my own life around like how to become more deeply embodied and really like experience the vitality of my own life force in my body, and that our bodies are actually the place where we experience the give and take of relationship. And so from a constellations perspective, one of the core principles of family constellations, which I can speak more about those in a minute, it just might be helpful to sort of name them clearly. But one of them is around like the equilibrium of give and take in relationship, that like all relationships seek harmony. And when one takes and doesn't give, or when one only gives and doesn't take, or there's an imbalance, it creates stress in a system. And so for me in body work, there has been like, it's sort of this unique place where we get to really look, like release the cellular memories that make it difficult for us to receive support, to receive love, to like put our feet on the ground and feel the aliveness of the land beneath us, to, you know, put our arms around our loved ones and really feel our hearts beat in resonance with those we love. And so I've always been really curious about like what interrupts that sense of connection. And Constellations has given me a framework that has been so empowering, like a wider stance around, okay, we all long to be deeply connected and we know we're interdependent, and yet we often experience life as lonely, or we feel isolated or disconnected. And so Constellations has given me a framework to understand like a little bit of the systemic perspective around the collective ancestral imprints that create disconnection and how to disentangle them. And then for me, body work is a way of like really then embodying that flow of life and love. And also, you know, really being able to take our dreams, our desires, our goals, our core values, and to really like feel them in our body so that they're not just ideas that we're constantly reaching for, but that we can actually access them internally and live from that place of like inner truth and balance and authenticity.
There is, it's a beautiful picture that you're painting of authenticity, truth, and balance. You know, when an individual can perhaps go through this healing modality and untangle, you know, where the blocks are, where the pain is, or where, you know, someone just has been kind of stuck or stagnant in the ability to live life as their most fullest, abundant, you know, brightest self. And my question is once you've gone through this healing, you know, you've gone through the process of really kind of detangling and fleshing out and embodying, you know, and you're talking about two different healing modalities in body work and in family constellations therapy. But you have this, you know, if we're thinking about systems and the individual is a node within the greater system, and you have an individual who's now worked hard and have done the focused work to become this healthy node, how can a healthy node impact the greater system when you've done the work to do the entanglements and, you know, be able to step into your authentic true self? How does one healthy node begin to impact the greater system?
Yeah, I think what you're describing makes me think of how a teacher who I really appreciate often talks about the strongest nervous system wins. So that a nervous system that is deeply regulated lives in rhythm with the, like if I live in rhythm with the life around me, I'm attuned to the people in my space, I'm attuned to the, you know, the elements around me, the consciousness of life that animates the whole, my whole world. I can really enact like what I deeply value, what are my values. And so, you know, that's what I tend to think about when I think of somebody who really lives in integrity, is somebody who can be, you know, receptive to relationship and also enact what matters to them. There's like an alignment between, you know, core values and behaviors. And I think when one person really does the work to become like more coherent and more deeply aware of their place in the systems with that they belong to, it really empowers those around them to do the same. So often what we do unconsciously, so the first system that we learn is our family system. And often what happens is that we get recruited into various unconscious roles. So a really common one for most of us is that, you know, we're like seeking, you know, love and support from our parents in some way. And so we end up parenting our parents. And in that way, that's like a very familiar dynamic to us. And so we carry the sort of learned behaviors, beliefs, patterning of our family system into the other systems to which we belong. So whether that's our, you know, partnerships in life or our work in our organizations. And we can unconsciously end up recruiting other people to fill roles or needs that were unmet in our family system. And so, or we can unconsciously try to fill other people's unmet needs because that's something that we learned to do in our family systems. And so the more we do the work of becoming really aware of those patterns and alchemizing them, the more we both feel deeply resourced and so really aware of what we have to offer authentically in our work or our, you know, families or wherever it might be that we're in relationship. Not over function, but function in like a right sized way, and leave other people free to share what they have to give and live in their values.
Yeah, it's really quite beautiful, the things that you're naming. And at Mindful Warrior, we really focus on building healthy cultures within organizations, which is a system in itself, as you explained. And this idea of what is it to show up as a healthy node and a healthy individual, and the things that you named about what is it to be a thriving, healthy node in the context of a greater system. You said having a regulated nervous system. The quote that you said from your favorite teacher is the most regulated nervous system wins. So, you know, having this regulated nervous system, having core values and following them. You use the example of having integrity, being able to be regulated enough and follow through with your core values and the standards of your behaviors in which you want to act as an individual. And as you named all of those things as a healthy node that can impact the greater system, these are things that we really highlight. And these are things that are really critical in how we look to build out cultures for systems. And so I might even just ask you to stretch a little bit further in your perspective here and perhaps share with us maybe how you would see healthy culture impacting systems, whether that's a culture within, you know, you think about culture, you have like a family culture, right? And perhaps even, you know, just relationships between two individuals. There's a culture of the relationship. And then, you know, the culture of an organization, but how do cultures, you know, and perhaps it's just naming that, you know, regulated nervous system, those core values and standards of behaviors, but how can culture, how do you imagine culture to impact systems? What's the role that it plays?
It's making me think about that polarity of expansion and contraction again, and how when we can really integrate those two movements as both belonging and both having a healthy place, because culture really creates structures, norms, rituals, practices that hold us and that help us maintain generative relationship. I think it's interesting collectively. I think we're in a moment where we're really negotiating what are the new systemic orders that serve love and both like allow us to be free and feel held in relationship. And I think for me, part of the draw towards the ancestral constellation work is that I get to really look at what comes up for me when I'm in the workplace and somebody makes like an invitation for a, you know, new cultural norm. Like, what comes up for me in that place? And who am I with in my lineage when I respond to that norm? And how can I really determine, like, sometimes we carry, like in the process of sort of reflecting on our core values, I get curious about, like, are some of my core values actually older than me? Like, are some of them, you know, can I locate like a history of these in my lineage? And sort of understand both. Like, I may unconsciously be trying to complete things that were unfinished or repeat patterns that are like older than my lifetime. And so the more I can sort of claim all that has come before consciously and both, I think part of the gift of Constellations work is that it actually invites us to include that which has been difficult. And the alchemy can actually turn some of the darkest traumas in our histories into resources, that somehow there is something that survived and has made it possible for me to sit here and be here and, you know, talk to you right now. And so when I can claim those and sort of bring them out of the shadow, I can show up in my life and generate like a sort of evolutionary cultural movement that both accesses the resources of where we've been collectively and where my family has traveled and where, you know, maybe my coworkers, where their histories have moved through that have allowed them to arrive at the table that we all sit at together. and to really like create something new together out of all that has come before. And so when you talk about like what is generative culture, or what is what happens inside of a strong culture, I think it really allows us to feel whole, because it allows us to fully express who we are and where we come from, and in a form that is new, you know, that is, you know, authentically ours, that is creative, and that is aligned with what we're here to do in this life.
Yeah, really well said. I think you're starting to kind of bridge a little bit of this idea of like, how might family constellations therapy, or how might a healthy culture, or how might all these things that impact an individual to feel like they belong, to feel whole, to feel like their truest, most authentic self, to feel heart-centered, to feel regulated. These are the things that you're saying, like culture and that the journey of healing lineage and using your ancestral history, whether it be a darker one or one that is fully in alignment and cheering you on to where you're going in your life. But using that to become your most whole self, how does that impact performance from your perspective? Like for me, I'm listening and I think about the teams and the organizations that I have felt the most, my highest, most elite level of performance was the groups that I felt the most safe, the most welcomed, the most like I wasn't judged. There was a total belonging of just like, oh, we love Cammie for who she is and how she is. And a support that came behind that. And you are more willing to take greater risk when you have that around you, when you have one, that inner kind of strength and knowing and belonging within yourself, but then you put that around you within a system. Oh man, like the ability to take chance and to take risk and to push your limits in performance for me was far greater. But I'd love to hear your perspective of how you feel perhaps, you know, what you're describing impacts performance for people individually and or collectively, if that comes up for you.
Yeah, I love what you're saying about the belonging that we find in a group is sort of, we can really access belonging and community when we also have sort of tapped into a deep belonging that transcends the team we're part of or the organization we work in, that when we actually show up with a full cup, we actually can really receive the belonging of community, versus when we show up with an empty cup and actually nothing anybody else gives us quite fills the cup, because it's like an older, more ancient or collective systemic emptiness that is actually has origins elsewhere. So I really resonate with that description. And I think when I think about performance in the context of some of the constellations training, is I get really curious about like when people experience blocks to their performance in some way, who or where are those the origins of that? So when I like my definition of success, where does it come from? And where in my lineage have people like really been able to like access their skill and express themselves? And where has that maybe not been possible for people? And so where am I actually loyal to some of those ancestors who maybe couldn't bring their creativity forward or couldn't tried and failed. And so I actually, maybe I'm like step into the threshold of, performance in some way, whether that's like a larger form of visibility in my craft, or, the stakes go up in some way. And who am I with in that moment that might make it harder for me to fully like bring forward what I have to bring forward and offer in that moment? And so I think in this work, there is the potential, the potential to look at some of those disconnections and maybe what has been incomplete. And then also, for me, part of the medicine of Constellation's work is really in the, when I turn and look at the places in the past where there has been some kind of pain or suffering, there is a profound exchange that happens when I look at my ancestors and they look back at me, at their living descendant. And there's sort of a mutual like acknowledgement of what has happened and sort of a consenting to the reality that has unfolded, both the good and the bad, that then allows actually me to receive the blessing and the empowerment of those behind me who deeply wish for my success, who deeply wish for my self-expression, who deeply wish for me to live free and unencumbered. And so, when I think about somebody who's, in a context, a performant, high performing context, and they're about to step into the arena, how can we step into the arena fully resourced and feel really like there is just like a wealth of support that we can access in our expression?
Beautiful. How do you protect that? Do you train? I mean, you work to help people get to this point of continued healing and health, right? How do you protect the work that you've done? Is there any tools or perspectives you have clients hold in protecting the node? Or is it a continued practice of how do you, like regulating your nervous system isn't like, oh, I did something, I did the work, and now I'm going to just move on with my life. It's like a constant practice of showing up and ensuring that that nervous system regulation is getting its reps so that it can go to battle when it needs to, right? That like all, when the when the nervous system gets hijacked, that, okay, I know now I'm prepared. I have the practice. I can come into myself. I can take the deep breaths. I can bring my mind into a certain space. As you're saying, I can call upon my ancestors to come around me and support me in this moment, and, or identify that this is an old pattern or programming that I can let go of. But how do you protect the work in which you move forward? How do you protect the node in the system?
Yeah, I think so in my experience, just both of my own, stepping into this work and with peers doing it, almost invariably, at some point when we move towards our desire or our intention or a goal we have, there's a resistance that arises and that gets activated. And oftentimes the resistance becomes more intense the deeper or more expansive our desire. And so there's a relationship between the two. And I think something that's been helpful for me is to actually think about becoming friends with my resistances and my blocks, that actually they are, it's the tension between my desire and what holds me back that actually propels my growth. It's like, it launches me forward. It's like the fuel of my evolution. In some ways I think about the metaphor of like alchemy being similar to sort of the bone that breaks and then reheals heals more strongly than it was before. So there's an element of like including the knowledge of what is difficult and how to move through it, how to navigate that challenge, how to alchemize it, transcend it in an inclusive way that is really empowering. So, you know, I think it's inevitable that like when we live on our evolutionary edge and we're committed to our growth and our expansion in life, that we're always sort of dancing with the things that are challenging. And for me, I try to hold an orientation that all belongs, and that when I do find myself particularly triggered or activated, or I notice that my nervous system is dysregulated in some way, and it's really overwhelming. You know, we all know the feeling of like really being in the muck when we're like trying to grow and suddenly everything's really disorienting and we're just not quite sure where we are or where we're headed. You know, I think that practices of embodiment become really, really helpful in those moments. So to really have ways of coming back into rhythm, you know, whether that's like, and coming back into the body, whether that's, you know, putting your feet on the ground or going to sit against a tree, but really helping, you know, my body access rhythm that is coherent beyond the incoherence of what is triggering me. I also love practices that invite like the play of the imagination, that like when I'm in a space of feeling really triggered, to give as much space to my imagination as I give to my fear, you know? So like, what is the optimal imagining of my life, of my business venture, of my, you know, next creative project, the short stories I wanna write, the workshops I wanna run, the partnership I wanna call in, that I think all of those things help bolster our capacity to stay in relationship with like our soulful evolution and with like the core of our of what we truly want and value, and I think those all protect us and strengthen us and help keep us deeply resourced in the midst of the dance of turbulence.
Beautiful. I think you've painted such an incredible picture of what is possible with this type of healing and this type of work. And my question is, if someone, you know, is interested in growing and healing in these ways and are kind of, you know, on the fence about starting the journey with family constellation therapy, and or are prepping themselves to be courageous enough to step in and say, all right, I'm ready to embark on this journey and start healing some of these old patterns and old systems and in our lineage. My question is, as you've expanded our minds and have shown us what is possible, what are maybe one or two kind of like awarenesses or focal points that we can kind of bring into our spheres as individuals, just to be aware of, to kind of tune ourselves into or align ourselves with what is possible with family constellations therapy? But what is maybe a practice that would be really powerful for an individual who's listening to just tune into or be aware of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I just want to say I really encourage people to trust their own pacing in these processes, that we have a knowing of right timing and right pace, and that, you know, I have a teacher who often says, when things, the more tender things are, the more slowly we move. And that there is no, that we have everything we need to meet our healing. And so I think people who might be curious about sort of like what constellations practices have to offer, you might just experiment with, like, when you notice, like, oh, this is a pattern that keeps coming up, or like, this is a thought pattern that I keep having. You had a great conversation with Lisa Firestone on the podcast recently, and you talked a lot about like the critical inner voice. And as I was listening to that, I was just thinking about this framework of like where some of those recurrent challenges come from in the context of the constellations framework. And so maybe you notice that your critical inner voice is really dominant in a particular way. And so you might experiment with like even taking a piece of paper and writing, you know, the inner critic or what the inner critic thinks. And then on another piece of paper, write your intention, like what would be possible if you were free from your inner critic. And then on another piece of paper, write it, like your own name, you know, yourself, me. And then put those on the floor and see what happens when you look at them in relationship to one another. What happens in your body? Do you feel more spaciousness? What happens when you move your piece of paper closer to your intention? Do you get anxious? Do you feel excited? Where do you want to put the you know, critical inner voice or whatever the block might be? So that might be just like an interesting way of sort of experimenting with sort of a constellations tool in terms of just mapping the different dynamics in life. So whatever that might be. So that's one sort of playful practice that people could try out. I think another one is just even like I have started taking the practice of like every morning and every evening, like greeting my ancestral field to really like connect with them. And to say, you know, like, thank you for my life. And like, today I do something good with the life you've given me. And like, we go together into this like new future, you know, whatever the day might hold. So if that resonates with people, they could try that, or even just like draw a family tree and notice what arises when you like look at a physical representation of your family, whatever information you have available to you. Because sometimes when we look at sort of a visual representation of our family systems, we notice things that we didn't notice before. And then we can, work with that information as feels right.
Wonderful. What those are incredible takeaways for our listeners. And I'm ready to get my pieces of paper out and put down my blocks and what would happen if I was free of them and my name. I think that is such such a great tool. And just an approachable way to start kind of thinking in this light and in this space. So I want to thank you so much, Maude, for sharing your wisdom and your insight and just expanding our minds to what is possible. It's incredible. It's incredible, just a resource for all of us if we choose to move forward with it and just to be aware of it. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Cami. Such a joy to share with you and be in conversation.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please take the opportunity to share with a friend, follow Mindful Warrior Radio, and leave a review. To learn more about Mindful Warrior and Mindful Warrior Radio, please follow us on Instagram at The Real Mindful Warrior and check out our website at www.mindfulwarrior.com. I look forward to our next discussion here on Mindful Warrior Radio.